And I was like, oh, okay. What kind of chicken? Like, how'd you cook the chicken? This woman says she boiled some chicken. And if that ain't the whitest thing I've ever heard of.
I was about to say, to the audience, if you didn't know if James was white yet, now you know.
That is the whitest thing I've ever heard.
Welcome back to Charge It to the Game, a Game of Thrones rewatch podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Lovegood, Luna's favorite cousin. And I'm not arguing with anyone who doesn't read anything longer than the subtitles on their video games. And I'm joined by my co-host, Gingy, my love, and TJ, who doesn't read anything longer than the subtitles on his video games.
Me too.
Usually you have to unmute yourself now. Oh, there you go.
Why'd you mute me anyway? You didn't want me...
Because when you come in, it cuts my audio.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah, you had to say the whole thing.
I had to get it all out.
I wish I could have stopped that shade. But, you know, it's fine. I'll bring the sunshine in.
Well, fellas, we fucking made it.
We're here. Can I have my Jason Tatum moment?
We did it!
Anything is possible!
Yes, because this week we are discussing Game of Thrones Season 3, Episode 9, The Reigns of Castamere, an air date of June 2nd, 2013, written by David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, directed by David Nutter, and a rating of 5.13 million. Also interesting, I want to point out, is there was a 1 week gap between episode 8 and episode 9. Because in the week between, HBO aired Behind the Candelabra, the Liberace biopic with Matt Damon or whoever. I forget who played him. But they left a week between 8 and 9.
Okay, so they skipped a week, is what you're saying, because there's always a week between episodes. So no, they skipped a week.
Yeah, they skipped. There's a full like gap. So if you knew about episode 9 and you had to wait that extra week, oh, buddy.
Then how did people get mad? Like, was it like an outrage?
Oh, I was fucking pissed.
Oh, were you? So you knew. You knew it was coming.
I knew.
Okay.
I think I'd be more pissed if it happened for next week.
Okay.
It's like seeing seeing how it ended.
I got you.
And then having to wait an extra week for what comes next. I'd be mad about that.
I got you.
Well, before we get into it, I do want to add in our Put It on the Board segment.
You can put it on the board! Yes!
Because the twins are on the board.
Twins, as they should be.
Welcome, guys. Oh, boy. Who's ready?
We got like two seasons worth of content at the twins in one episode. So.
I'm excited. I hope you are, too. Let's go.
Oh, before we get started, I just got to shout out Michelle Fairley. Like, the performance she puts on in this episode here. Fucking amazing. But we'll talk about it.
We'll get into it.
I got to give her flowers before we even start.
We can get into it right away, though, for real, because, like, it starts off with Rob and his mom.
It does.
Rob is making plans to take the Rock.
Sharing a little trust bet?
Well, yeah. I mean, when my kids fuck up, they want me to come fix their mess too.
Yeah. Something about listening to your mom just takes you far in life.
Does it?
Yeah, sometimes mom knows best, you know?
Just once in a while. Once in a while, you should listen to your mother. She knows. She knows about your little friends better than you do. But, so looking at the game board, I don't usually pay very close attention to this episode because it puts me on edge. Like, I need a Papa Zan before I watch this one.
Yeah, every time I watch it, like, I get goosebumps.
I can't do it. But watching it for a podcast was crazy because it's the first time I've noticed on Rob's map that he's got wolves and he thinks he's got people behind him, but he's surrounded. There's lions in front of him, there's lions behind him, and then he's got the Freys and the Boltons at his back.
No. This is the first time I noticed the Bolton piece on the board, too. Like the actual flayed man.
Yeah. And how were you feeling? This was a pretty tense sequence. Like him and his mom. Like you're still like, yeah, we're good. Everything's fine.
Yeah, the decision that she made, because when he asked her, or he brought up Ned, and she said, do it. That was pure emotion decision making there, and I didn't really actually agree that they should have done that. She should have said go. And I think if Rob didn't bring up Ned, she wouldn't have said it.
All right. I love it.
Yeah. I can see it.
But they're going to take Casterly Rock. First, though, Edmure has to get married. And we have to go in the castle. We have to deal with Walder Frey again.
Yeah, fucking creep.
They're all given guest right. So, like, they're all given food to eat. So that
chicken and rice. It was weird to watch them dip the chicken in the rice.
Was that chicken?
That's what it looked like to me. Did it not?
I honestly thought it was like pork crackling and salt.
It looked like chicken and rice to me. It looked like cooked chicken, but
no, it was
just the, grainy rice.
It was
like
no,
uncooked
it was
rice.
Salt. But I thought it was like a bread that they dipped in the salt.
I thought it was uncooked white rice, to be honest with you. Ain't gonna lie.
No, it definitely salt.
This is based on England. It could have been anything.
Yeah, true.
The way those people eat.
Yo, speaking of the way people eat, this is about to be a real bad tangent right here. I was talking to my mom today.
Yeah, I saw that.
She was like, you know, I've been eating really healthy lately, and I'm trying to, you know, because she's diabetic, so she's trying to make sure she always take care of herself. And she was like, I had a grilled chicken salad. And I was like, or she said she had chicken salad. And I was like, well, chicken salad really, like, it's made with mayonnaise. So, like, really, mayonnaise ain't all that great for you. But then she was like, no, it's chicken in a salad. And I was like, oh, okay. What kind of chicken? Like, how'd you cook the chicken? This woman says she boiled some chicken. And if that ain't the whitest thing I've ever heard of.
I was about to say, to the audience, if you didn't know if James was white yet, now you know.
That is the whitest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, if you didn't know that James was white, now you know. His mama is boiling chicken and just putting that shit on a salad.
Yeah, what? Like, what are you doing?
I mean, did she put a little seasoning on it?
Yeah, she claims she put some seasoning on it, but like,
no, she sprinkled
boiled
a little,
some chicken.
She sprinkled a little salt on there.
You it boiled some chicken.
It doesn't matter if she put the seasoning on it. Like, it's not cooked into it. Like, did she salt the water?
Exactly. Exactly. I look, all right. I'm trying to shoot his mom some bail, all right?
Nah, don't do it.
Did she enjoy her salad?
She did. She liked it.
Okay, well, good for her. I'm glad she did not waste her food, because that sounds like a journey.
I don't know what I would do if anybody ever bought me boiled chicken. Imagine like watching somebody cook boiled chicken and slapping that shit on a plate for you to eat. Like, what are you doing? I'm slapping a person.
Yeah, like, people gonna complain about how the chicken dry or don't taste good. Well, you boiled it.
Why would it be?
Look, this actually isn't that much of a tangent, because if there's one family in this show that looks like they eat boiled chicken, it's the Freys.
Yeah, you're right.
This actually ties in really well to what we're talking about.
It is. It is. So they're given guess right. Rob begs for forgiveness. Walder gets real fucking nasty.
Very disrespectful.
But do you blame him?
No. But still, very disrespectful.
Very disrespectful, but you can't blame the man.
Okay. Okay. But also, like, the way he talks about these girls as he's introducing them, he doesn't know.
He doesn't even remember their names.
I was just like,
yo, the last one, the last, how you did that far off? Like Waldra, Waldea, Waldina. No, it's Mary.
Like I was getting annoyed, but then I was like, he also doesn't respect the men in his family. He's like, he's Elena. He hates all of them. And there's so many of them to hate. My God.
But in this episode, they do put a lot of love in his heart in this episode. So if nothing else, he's a happy man.
Well, he's been a sex pest for a very long time. And Salisa wears her armor well because she's very courteous while he's telling her how nice her body must be underneath that dress. Totally.
Rob was very courteous as well. Luckily, he had his mom there.
Yeah, that could have gone left real fast. Could you imagine? What if they were fighting right there?
Yeah, I know, right? But he does say that.
Been better for him if they fought right there.
Water does tell him, though, that he's ready to just put everything behind him.
Yeah.
Put it all behind us.
Water off a duck's back.
So in this scene, way James, did you what'd you think? Were you believing him?
Well, I was, because you know I've been saying it last episode and the episode before where they were still talking about he was getting whatever episode when they first said that Walder Frey was going to let his uncle marry the girl. I was like, that's way too easy.
Yeah.
And then even here, I'm still sitting there like, this is way too easy.
Indeed. But you know what might be even easier? Sacking the city of Yunkai.
Yeah.
Gotta be, right?
Yeah, this is a really, like, this also is very suggestive language that they are using to talk about getting into this city. And Danny is fully tried, like, she's trying to fuck. And I respect it.
And Jorah is super jealous about it.
Oh, yeah. I wrote that in here. Jorah is jealous.
I just wrote Jorah's face. Woo!
There's a lot of things with Jorah in the scene, though. So he's jealous of Daario. And then when Barristan says, like, hey, you need an extra sword? Like, Jorah's like, nah. If somebody's going to get all the glory for this shit, it's going to be me, buddy. Me.
He was making some points about Daario. He was like, what if he's just trying to backstab us? Like, I get it. But then Grey Worm, or as he is better known now, Louis de Pontillac, fully was just like, nope, I trust him. Let's do this. Like, do you think Jorah felt cock-blocked in that moment? That his homeboy did not have his back?
Oh, yeah. He's feeling it from two different angles. He's feeling it from Barristan, who doesn't want Daenerys like that. And now he's feeling it from Daario, who is quite better looking and younger than him. More in the age range.
And who had Danny standing in a puddle when he said, you can't make love to property. Because
true.
Wow. A man. But Jorah talks a big game for someone that we know has already betrayed this lady. Like, you're worried about everybody else. Three fingers pointing back at you, friend.
They'll come back.
Do you ever think that's coming up again, James?
What, them addressing Jorah's?
Yeah, the betrayal.
Maybe not, because, like, who is still alive that even knows?
Okay. Yep.
Think about that, though. Think about it. We'll get back to it.
I got to remember who even is still alive that was in the room that knew the...
Yeah.
Knew the plans.
This is a really exciting episode.
Two scenes were exciting. The rest of it was kind of just meh.
But the rest of it's going to make a lot more sense as we go on. Yeah, there's a lot. I'm there's sure a lot will, of setup. There's a lot of setup.
Yeah, when I was watching it, I was like, "Oh, the future is going to be decided by this episode, basically."
Yeah, I honestly feel like there's parts of this episode though where it's like Game of Thrones has like a turning point in terms of like where it's going. There's just a lot of setup, and then obviously the end. Like changes the whole trajectory of the show. Like,
right. Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of setup.
Yeah, a ton. Beyond the wall, or at the wall, rather. Sam the White Slayer teaches us the importance of being a reader
and a wizard.
Because he can read.
Yeah, don't. I'll come back to what I'm going to say in the quote section.
All right.
He's schooling her on the castle that was abandoned during the reign of King Jaehaerys I, who we met in the pilot episode of House of the Dragon.
We did.
Yes, Rhaenys's grandfather, RIP to her. First castle on the wall. It's impossible to maintain, but there's a sally port that'll get you to the other side of the wall. So this seems simple. We'll get this done. And then we'll go back to Castle Black, you and me and your baby, and they'll take us in and everything will be fine.
Yeah.
And you'll get to look over top of the wall.
No, she's going to get to look over the... Well, she could. Assuming... Because yeah, they're definitely going to just let her stay.
Yeah.
Chamber pop. Oh, yeah.
Yes, correct. This is what I'm saying. Just look over the top. You're right. You get to watch sunset every night. You, Sam, and the little... baby.
Sam Jr.
The wizard kid.
Most important in this scene is that it's very sexy when men read.
No, most important in the scene is that apparently the best compliment you can get is being called a wizard. Because the smile on his face, holy shit.
But why does she think he's a wizard?
Because he can read. But yeah, but let me just say this. And James, you might be able to agree with me here. As a man, if a pretty woman were to call me a wizard, I'm friend zoned right then and there. That'd be my thought process. Like, yeah. I'm in a friend zone at that point.
Yeah, I think so too.
That's not a compliment that I want. Don't call me a fucking wizard. Because if you call me a wizard, you don't see me as somebody you want to be with.
Yeah.
We're friends.
That's true.
I'm your nerdy friend.
That's true. Been there. That's true.
Have you been called a wizard?
No, I've never been called a wizard.
If you were to say yes.
No. I have been told that I'm like their gay best friend who's not gay. So.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's weird. Because that would just imply that like men and women cannot have platonic friendships.
Right.
Be straight.
Right.
That's okay.
Did you do her nails or her hair?
Nope.
Like, did you do anything to give off that vibe?
Nope.
All right. Well, okay.
That might be worse than a wizard. Sorry, James.
That's definitely worse than a wizard. Yeah. Like, if she'd called me a wizard, I'd felt a little better.
You would have hit that smile that Sam did.
Yeah, like, oh, okay, I'm a wizard. Yeah, cool. Call me Gandalf from now on.
call me Harry.
No, I don't want to be Harry. I want to be Gandalf.
Harry.
Be Ron. You can be Ron.
I could be Ron. I got the red hair for it. I just don't have much hair.
It's still red.
It is still red though. I could
or you
be Ron.
Can be the cool older brothers. You can be Charlie or Bill. Bill's the one who's got a hot wife. Anyways.
Are you making these names up or are these like real people in the show or in the movie?
Yeah, they're.
Soon to be show, by the way.
Oh, I can't wait.
And since HBO's doing it, I'm gonna watch it.
Let's go to the Riverlands, where the Hound is the pappy.
You know what this made me think of? Like, this scene with Arya and the Hound, like, when they first, like, show them in the very beginning, It made me think of if this is what watching The Adventures of Duncan Egg is going to be like. And then it just all unravels. Like, it just all goes downhill. And I'm like, nah, it's not going to be like this.
Yeah, I saw Arya. I was like, I just wrote down Arya looks like a bad kid. Like, when I pick my kids up from the bus stop and they're like, can we go get Slurpees? And I say no. That's the same face that Egg makes the whole way home. But
did you tell him you got slushies at home?
It's called ice and water. Just in the freezer for a little bit, stir it up. Slushy.
Put a little food coloring in it.
Yeah, throw some pink in there.
Just the
imagine strawberries when you drink it. Slushy.
But yeah, they run up on a man who's got a broken down wagon who's taking salt pork to the wedding. Oh, buddy, what a coincidence. This is great.
Yeah, very convenient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But Arya does try to stop the hound from killing him. And does. But I just want everyone to remember what happened when Brienne didn't kill a man on a rope. Dead rats
don't point.
Yeah, dead rats. What do you say? Dead rats don't squeal, whatever.
Yeah. And then she invoked. So they get into it and she invokes the name of Syrio. Real fucking killer. Well, not by name.
Oh, do you think she was talking about Syrio there?
I do.
Because I wrote that down. Who is she talking about?
I think it's Syrio.
Or do we think it's Jack and Hagar?
Six of one, half dozen of the other.
Well, she doesn't know what we know.
Right.
Y'all don't even know what y'all know.
We don't know what
y'all
we know.
Y'all making this all up.
We are
indeed in our head. This is all getting made up in my head. But yeah. Sounds good though.
Headcanon is a thing for a reason. And I will get to y'all. Like, when we get to the end of this episode, I'm going to actually hit y'all with some more, like, book theory canon stuff. Yeah.
I got some book stuff I want to talk about too at the end.
We're going to talk about that in this episode.
Why not?
I know what you want to talk about, but we're not going to talk about it in this episode because it doesn't happen until the end of book four, which is technically the end of season four. So we'll talk.
But it's not going to happen anyway, so we might as well talk about it.
We'll talk about it at the end of the next episode.
I don't like the way you make me wait.
Like, because there's still more that happens at the twins. Spoiler.
I don't like the way that women control my life.
Dog, you're about to have a daughter. I feel like it's something you should get used to.
Thanks.
Two sisters, a mother, a wife, and a daughter. Please, sir. Please.
Might need to move back.
You might need to move back. Spend every weekend in my house. Please.
But most important in this scene, Arya might truly be about that fucking life. She just might be.
Yeah. You're getting there.
What a scary little girl. Hey, you guys. Does this windmill look familiar?
A little bit.
How convenient. We've reached the gift, and we get another history lesson. Although I'm not sure Bran read it more than like Maester Luwin instructed him in it.
Yeah.
Anyways, another history nerd. We find out that the gift was given to the Men of the Night's Watch by Brandon the Builder, who we'll eventually get back to way down the road. Yeah. Way down the road.
Way, way, way down the road.
Down the road. Down the witch's road.
By the time we get there, it's going to be the beaten path. Very, very, very beaten path.
It's
a lot of potholes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be a rough road.
But it's super neat and cool that Bran and Rickon talk about Osha's people like she's not standing right there, because obviously she's one of the good ones. Duh.
And this is where they turn and apologize, and then they still just keep going. No offense, but.
And a clap of thunder, and Hodor Hodor's not really feeling it.
Not at all.
I wonder if that's gonna end up anywhere. Yikes. Turns out Ygritte is easily distracted.
Is she?
I think that.
Yeah.
So, to be fair, they were kind of right about what they said about Osha's people, because what are they doing? Raiding.
Yep, raiding.
About to kill a farmer.
One man and his horses.
Yes.
An old man.
An old man.
An old man.
But it seems like, in hindsight in this show, it's always the smart choice to kill the guy. That's what it seems like. It just eliminates some of the issues you have in the end. Just kill him in the beginning. Just get the shit over with.
But John can't do that, obviously, because he is Ned Stark's baby boy.
Voice of reason.
Ever. It's not even a voice of reason thing. It's just his conscience. He could never just, like, kill an innocent person.
How, in this scene, James, and, you know, obviously this is before we know what we know towards the end, but how compromised does John seem to you in this scene?
What do you mean by compromised?
Like, we got a lot of lead up to this in terms of, like, internal battles, and then we see him and Ygritte kiss on top of the wall, which makes him seem like he's one of them now. And then last episode, he says, y'all can't win. And she was like, we, us. So, like, he went from being kind of, like, united with them to, like, separating himself.
Well, I think the only difference is, like, he doesn't want to kill innocent people. And I don't think he ever really planned to actually be a wildling. Like, I don't think he ever planned on it. And then I think he would have helped with the siege of one of the castles, whatever castle they're going to, on the wall, but then also, like, not helped at the same time. But I think the part of just killing innocents, whether he was truly with a wildlings now, or whether or not he was still on the Night's Watch, is what his problem was here. Because I think even if the Night's Watch went to some place and the Night's Watch was like, hey, let's kill this old dude, he would have stood up and said something then too.
Unless his name was Craster, then he would have just killed him. But anyway.
Well, Craster's not an innocent old man.
He's an old man, though. But no, I think if I was back my first time watching it or whatever, like, in my opinion, he's only sparing the guy because, like, he knows the guy and the guy's ties to the Night's Watch. Like, he tells him who he is. He breeds horses for him.
I mean, yeah, but I, like, feel like if it was any old dude, he would just done the same.
And I think that when he tells them that, like, it gives them more urgency to see him kill him, because it's trying to get them to say, hey, like, you prove that you're one of us.
Yeah.
But he got some good advice from the Half Hand a long time ago, saying, like, to become one of them. Like, you gotta fit in with the crowd there if you want to make it out. And, like, is he doing a good job or a bad job? Listen to the Half Hand at this point.
Bad job. How did nobody, all them people running, not hear him smack the rock?
I have no answers for that.
I mean, adrenaline.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
But Ygritte's face says it all. Like, she's worried at this point.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She knows.
Because she just senses it, that this motherfucker's going to do something dumb.
Yup.
Like, you about to do something dumb. She gets to feel it.
Yeah, I put in here because, you know, she tries to shoot the dude as he's running away. And John distracts her or whatever. Tries to get her to stop. Yeah. Tries to get her to stop, and she hits the tree. And she kind of, like, looks back. And I was like, right there, I was like, she is not going to stay loyal to him.
Is that what you got out of that?
That's what I got out of it.
She's not gonna stay loyal to him?
Well, I
Or
mean,
the other way around?
both, like both, but like
Lauren, mark this moment. I am taking women's side here.
like no, like she
Write it
he
down.
I think he would stay loyal to her if she would like become a
And we're gonna come back to this loyalty thing. You know what? This has sparked my brain. We're gonna come back to this, and we'll come back
I
in
think he
shortly.
would have stayed loyal to her if, like, when after the war or the battle of the wall and they lose, and he'd be like, stay with me.
We're gonna come back to this in a little bit.
But, like, in that instance, I think she was like, right then and there, she was like, I don't know, I made a bad choice.
Yeah, see, no, I look at it totally different, but we'll come back to it.
Okay.
We're gonna come back to the loyalty thing in just a little bit.
We are, yeah. But first, Arya sees the twins. She's almost there, like Tiana.
You know, this moment in in this episode, it makes you realize how close everybody is to somebody. Everybody's so fucking close. Like, Arya's right there. She's looking at where her brother and her mother are at. And then in a little bit, we'll see somebody else is super close. But everybody's just so close.
True. Good point.
Anxiety, though, is running her mood board right now. And the Hound kindly points that out as he sucks on pig feet. What is this? What?
No, the hound is invited to the cookout. Because one thing that I look for at the cookout, all right, hear me out, y'all. I always look around to who's gonna clean out that chitlins pot. Because I don't want no chitlins, don't need to smell them. Like, at least I know if the hound's at the cookout, somebody's gonna be eating the chitlins. So yeah, the hound's invited. Because he's going straight to the chitlins.
I can't believe the Hound has something in common with Craig's dad from Friday. It's
All the pig feet.
on a hog mom. I like big feet. Anyway. They get nasty with each other because she clocks his tea, which is it. You're afraid of fire, you scared little bitch.
Yo, she has some balls, man.
She's ballsy. One thing she doesn't have is a filter between her mouth and her brain. And I love
Not at all. I'm here for it though.
absolutely. She got him because, like, then he brought up her dead dad. So, like, if you bring up my dead dad, I won the argument. Because now you just want me to try to fight you. Don't worry about it.
But this does answer my question from last week, if he's still on the list or not. He ain't off the list yet. I mean,
Nah.
we ain't got the list yet, but this shows me she just said I'm gonna put a fucking knife in your eye. So
Yeah.
he's still on the list.
Absolutely. I said I was going to kill you, and I meant that shit. Michael was my homeboy. But Ginge, how you feeling for Arya?
Pretty good right now. Like, oh, she's only across the river. Like, yeah.
Just over the river and through the woods.
But like you said, like this scene and like this episode, like every single scene feels so anxious. Like everybody's waiting on something to happen. Like everybody's almost there, but it's like, holy shit. Like,
Yeah. This is a real bad one for my nerves. It's also pretty bad on Hodor's nerves.
yeah.
Yeah, it is.
My poor sweet Hodor.
He needs a thunder buddy.
So that's a cool thing Bran can do, huh?
Indeed.
What did you think of that, Ginge?
I mean, I was a little surprised. First time we've seen something like that.
Yeah, we've seen like traces of it a little bit. Like with the dreaming through the wolf's eyes and
Yeah, but as our animals, like it's a completely different thing to go through a human's
Than a
eyes.
fucking human.
Interesting. Well, he quiets Hodor down. When the farmer
He
shows
quiets
up,
him down, yeah.
he quiets him down. Knocks him out.
Lays him right on down.
Wow, too bad Jake Paul couldn't do that to Mike Tyson, right? Anyways, that's my
Yeah. Hodo might be younger than Mike Tyson. His legs are stronger too. But anyway.
Ooh, that fight. Anyways. Perhaps it's ghosts because Oral heard shouting. But they've
Correct.
surrounded the farmer. Now they've killed his horse. Somebody's got to kill this guy.
But before we kill him, once again, we're so close. So close.
Yeah, because we get to see Shaggy and Summer too.
Yeah. How did they not see them?
Wolves.
They're like looking on and nobody saw them at all.
Right. And these are like 4 foot tall wolves.
They're not small.
But yeah, they are. They're almost there. John is tasked to kill the farmer.
I know the answer to your question of why they did not see the wolves. Their adrenaline was pumping.
There it is. Getting adrenaline in their soul.
Yo, I'm telling you now, if I see a 4 foot wolf out of the corner of my eye, no matter how much adrenaline I got in my body, I'm taking off and running the other way. I'm going to double take at least. At least I'm going to double take. Like, wonder if I just saw what I think I saw, like, really quick.
See, no, let me not say this.
What?
I was going to say, the thing is, like, all right, so you know how in, like, horror movies, white people always go towards the danger.
Oh, yeah.
And black people, you know, run the other way. You're black, so like it makes sense.
I'm running the other way. Hey, look, stereotypes.
All the wildlings.
Yep.
They all
white.
White.
Yep.
They don't care about it.
They out there eating fucking boiled chicken. Like they ain't giving a damn. But back to Ygritte and John.
Loyalty.
Loyalty.
Now
let's talk about who's loyal here.
I think he showed her loyalty.
But who showed more loyalty?
No, I'm saying
she
like
she definitely showed more loyalty.
She did, because she stood
yes. She correct
stood first. And he showed loyalty back by not letting
yes.
herself killed.
Correct. But she was ready to fight for that man.
Exactly. And he was not gonna let her die for him.
Yeah.
No, he abandoned her.
He did abandon her. John was not loyal in this case.
Yeah, I fully watching him run away, he abandoned her. And I'm very upset with him.
Emotional man. Wow. Here we go again. Anyway, John.
And it ain't me this time.
John, speaking of emotional men, John gets to kill that hater.
You're right.
And I want to point out for later, when Orel dies, he wargs into his eagle first.
He does. I was gonna ask, is this like, you know when people are always like, oh, like when he dies, he's gonna come back to haunt you? Like this is like literally that. This shit happened in the moment. He died and he came back to haunt him.
Real time, but John gets away. Because Ygritte's held back. And the look on her face as she watches him ride away.
Devastating.
Was it hate or disappointment?
Off. Oh, she gonna kill
him. Hate or disappointment? You think so?
Oh, yeah.
She's been telling us since we met her that she, like, she will cut his balls off.
Yeah, that's her she plan. Said it.
Now, do you think she's going to get to cut his balls off?
Oh, probably not. He's going back to Castle Black to warn everybody. Like,
Too bad he doesn't have, like, a bunch of nice Armani suits that she can throw in a BMW and settle.
Right. Or a bathtub to kick a toaster in.
Oh, man.
Or a radio, whatever it was.
Or a mansion to set the roof on fire.
None of that.
Sucks.
But here's a question I got for y'all. So one of the direwolves, I guess it's, what's Bran's direwolf name? Yes, yeah, Summer. Jumps in. Kind of like saves John in this moment.
Saves John, yep.
Does John recognize it?
I think he did. I think he did like a double take.
It's a 4-foot wolf. Like, he knows there's only like 6 4-foot wolves around here.
Correct. So why didn't he fucking like look around a little bit?
Trying not to die. Adrenaline.
I got this dire wolf at my side now. Like,
I'd have stayed too, because there's two of them.
We saw Rob take out a whole Lannister army with the direwolf, pretty much.
Well,
and a couple men, but you know, mostly the direwolf. In my mind, it's the whole army. Where is Ghost? Where is Ja?
You know, I was really expecting. I don't think I talk about this, but I thought Ghost was going to be with Sam and his girl when they were fighting the White Walker. Like, I really wanted Ghost to, like, be there.
I was really asking a serious question. Where is Ghost?
But, like, now, where is the dog? Exactly. We ain't seen him.
Where is Ghost? Oh, my God.
Maybe they had a cutback on CGI, so...
They spent all that money on that bear. That's where the budget went. They were like, you know what? If we put the bear in here, we can't show Ghost again for the rest of the season. Like, that is our CGI budget.
I mean, not to mention, we got dragons and dragon fire. Like,
we do.
And the fire now,
went up this season.
And these dire wolves look a little small, so they ain't really put much into those.
Like, real wolves.
Yeah, like, they just got somebody's huskies.
And Yen Kai, 3 dudes stave off an ambush. That was
how? would be my first question.
All right, well, the first amount of dudes I can see.
Yes, me too. And they like...
And, like, Grey Worm spear work was pretty nice. Like, the man uses spear very well.
You have to listen to Grey Worm's music. Go listen to his music one day. I don't know his name. You said his name earlier. He's an artist. But yeah, he does make music. It's pretty good.
Yeah, okay.
More importantly than that, though, he is Louis de Pontillac on Interview with a Vampire.
Whatever that is. We've already... established that I'm not cultured here.
Weird.
My family eats boiled chicken. Let me call my mama now, put her on speakerphone. I bet you she's boiling some chicken as we speak.
Don't disrespect your mom like that.
My mama don't cook, so I know she ain't boiling no chicken. Oh, man.
Well, that was rude. That was, you owe your mother an apology on that.
I do. Because James has met my mom. Like, she does not seem like a woman that's going to be boiling chicken.
No, she don't.
Anyways, they got into the city. And first ambush, nailed it. No problem. Uh-oh, here comes some more guards. Yikes, you guys. What's going to happen? Dot, dot, dot. Let's go to the gift. Because Hodor's still knocked out. This doesn't seem normal that Hodor is sleeping so long. Like, this can't be normal. And also, what Bran is doing is not normal.
No, one of a kind. Nobody does this shit. But man, I tell you what. This scene, like, it gets to you.
Yes, the Stark boys have to say goodbye. It's, yeah, it hit me this time.
All right, James, question for you. So, as we've seen in this series, typically when people get split up, they don't get back together or either they get super close to getting back together and then something happens. Do you think the Stark boys will ever see each other again?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they will.
All right.
I don't think anybody else is going to.
Well, that was
going
to be my next question. Do you think they find somebody else in their family before they see each other again?
No.
Okay.
No. Wow. I don't think anybody gonna see each other until like way later.
All right.
Fair. But man, OSHA loves them kids, man.
Mary Poppins.
She loves them kids.
OSHA is the prime example of why you should not judge a whole race of people on just a couple.
Exactly.
OSHA.
Starks.
What?
Starks. I'm looking at you, the Starks.
The whole of the country wanted that wall built, so let's relax. Over half the country voted for the wall.
True. But the Starks over there judging these wildlings.
When all that separates them really is the wall. Like
the Starks are they're kind of like Texas and Mexico. Like I feel like if there's anybody who wants the wall more than anybody, it's Texas. And that's kind of like the Starks.
Anyway. She takes OSHA, Mary Poppins takes off with Rickon for the Umbers. They're bannermen. Ginge. The Umbers, they're bannermen. How do you think this goes? Because, like, the Umbers and the Karstarks.
I don't know. It could be okay.
Okay.
It could be okay.
All right. Optimism.
Yeah, that's I like positivity.
Well, speaking of positivity, Jorah's got some good news. We sacked the city.
We did it.
Yeah, it was so easy. Dario?
Is Dario with you? I don't see Dario.
Jorah's like, this fucker's coming. He's trying to be fucking dramatic, gonna bring in his flag, try to get my girl. I don't even want to talk about it.
Jorah's, you can see Jorah's heartbreak in real time. I'm standing.
Yeah, he came in there leading the charge, and then, oh, where's Dario? He was like, fuck.
Blood all over his face.
And like, you know, he fought to be the one to walk in there first.
Yeah. And Dario was like, yeah, go ahead. I got a plan. I know how to rain on your parade, buddy.
Worked. Because Danny was standing in a puddle. Like,
standing in a lake. Fuck a puddle.
Does that mean bloody flag? Oh, buddy.
Yeah, fuck a puddle. That's a lake.
But Young Kai's been sacked. Slave soldiers threw their arms down because who would have thought that, like, if you're coming to kill the people who are abusing me, I'm going to let you. Who'd have thunk it?
Right.
Yeah. So Danny's won another city. What do you think this means for her?
You know, I'm a little disappointed in this scene. Because, like, I wanted more. Like, how you going to have, like, 50 dudes show up and then just
I agree. I don't like this scene at all. I don't like this whole sequence in this episode from them at all. Like, it's kind
of
like
up so well where he took the heads of the other guys, and then, like, now it's just been one big disappointment. So it's starting to feel like everything about Danny is a big disappointment. Except for her in the fire with the three dragons. That was the only thing cool she's done this whole time.
And it's almost like they get lazy on her storyline, too. Like, why didn't they show us what happened?
Yeah.
Like, when they got surrounded. Like, why didn't we see the fight? Do you mean to tell me that 100 guys just come out of the fucking woods or down the hallway or the alleyway or whatever to where they're standing, and they just fight them all off. Yeah. Standing back to back. No guns.
Yeah, like...
Army of three.
They should definitely make
EA, take notes.
With three.
The sequel. Anyway. Or the third game.
Third one?
Whatever. But anyway. Lauren knows exactly what we're talking about. I can see it on her face. Yeah.
I know.
This is like, I love when we have these moments because, like, this is how I feel when y'all talk about Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings and whatever other movie y'all name that I don't know about.
I mean, to be fair, I can't really talk about Lord of the Rings because I don't know shit about Lord of the Rings except for, like, the major stuff.
Lord of the Rings' greatest trilogy of all time.
I'm still wondering if there's even rings involved in Lord of the Rings.
There's 9 rings for humans, 3 rings for the elves, 5 rings for the elves, 7 rings for the dwarves, and then 1 ring to rule them all, and that's the bad guy's ring.
How long before you see the rings? Is this like Avengers where it takes us forever to see the fucking Infinity Stones?
No, I think they actually show the ring as like the very first picture.
Okay. That's better than Avengers, though.
I mean,
because Avengers, we talk about the Infinity Stones for like 6 movies, 8 movies, and then all of a sudden, boom, they're all here.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Like, I mean, to be fair, though, we see one of the Infinity Stones like at the very beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Because we see them throughout. But we didn't know.
A little bit. But yeah, we didn't know. We got on a tangent. It's what we do. I love this podcast. Feeding good information all around.
Yeah.
We're well rounded.
We're done.
Yeah. We finished like 10 minutes ago. We were just talking. I haven't talked to James today. We're kicking the shit.
Well, you guys, it's time for the second wedding of the season. Admir's getting married to a girl who couldn't be too much older than Sansa. Ew, gross, look how excited he is. What a pervert.
Well, I think he's a despicable for a way he changes his mind here. But I think it's not so much that she is young, is that he saw all the other girls and was like, ew, and then saw this girl had a pretty face and was like, oh, it's not so bad.
All right, without sounding like a creep here. I sound like a creep. I don't know what other reaction you want for this man to have. What do you want from him? Like, if you put your hand, like, he just pulled the needle out of the haystack here. you got to feel good for him.
I mean, yeah, but
in some form of fashion. Like, let's forget about the age thing here.
Like, it's terrible that you're like, oh, I don't want to date any of these girls because they're ugly. And then, like, oh, there's a pretty one. I'm all cool with that now.
It is terrible, but it's got to be a sigh of relief.
Yeah.
Oh. If I were Edmure, I'd probably have the same reaction. I ain't gonna lie.
Okay. I'll get into Edmure's ass later. Don't worry. Anyway, he cloaks her. He has a better time of doing that than Tyrion did.
Oh, before we go any further in the wedding part, before the wedding, outside of the walls.
The naked wrestling.
Like, is this why people do at weddings?
I've never done that.
Because I just picture drunk whites, and this is what they do at weddings. Like,
I mean, we said this is what you... I mean, you asked the same question about the Dithraki, so I guess it is what they do at weddings.
Yeah. Going nuts. I need to go to one of these. There's certain things that I want to see in my life in person, and this is one of them.
This is like a build tailgate.
James, I'm going to need you to have a wedding
soon. Definitely. let me just try to get a girlfriend first, and then
there you go.
Like, there's steps to this, there's levels to this, friend.
Yeah, like, Let me hold her hand first or something.
First you hold her hand, and then you marry her, and then you have a wedding feast.
Yeah, but Edmure did not need a stool. Let's keep that in mind.
Nope, he did not.
Dusty ass Edmure. Also, the old ladies making eyes at the blackfish.
Yeah, that's hilarious. But what's worse, though? The old ladies looking at the blackfish the way they did, or the way that Walter looked at Rob the way he did? Like, when the bride showed up. Like, Walter was like, look, what you missing out on? I kept this one in the tuck. You ain't even know about this one. You ain't know these jeans had this.
Oh, you know what? You just now something just sparked in my head, because like there's a theory that I'm gonna bring up later and we'll get back to, because she is that. She
okay.
is, yeah. But guess what? It's over and it's done with, and we're gonna have a wedding feast. Don't even know what he could possibly be talking to this child about, but he seems to be having the time of his life.
And she's having a good time too. Don't put it all on Emir. She's having a good time.
Okay, well, she's having a good time right now, but we'll see.
Yeah, right now. Right now. In this moment, she's having a good time.
And in this moment, Roose Bolton, who has been slightly over Rob's shoulder all episode.
I just want to point out that right in this instance, when he stopped the girl from putting the more drink in his cup, I said it right here that he was going to betray everybody, because I've been saying that for a while now.
You have been. You have been. As soon as he puts it and it dulls the senses, like, you can see what's coming. And I do want to point out, there's a shot. Have we gotten to that yet? Yeah, we did. There's a shot where, like, at the beginning of the wedding, where they show Rob, and then they clearly show Roose behind him.
Yes.
And I thought that was, like pretty telling as well.
Up and just over his shoulder. And we find out he also got afraid of Mary, and he got silver. So he is
made him rich.
Smart man.
Yeah, right. Like, yeah, Catelyn's
picked that one.
Said that.
Yeah, I think she picked up on it. Right when he said that he made her rich, she was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Like, see, I took her face as a different way. I didn't know she was disgusted or she was like, you know what? He's kind of smart.
I think
I'm just fucking around.
No, I'm saying at first I was fully like, oh, she's disgusted, because what he just said was disgusting. But then I was just like, oh, she's putting the pieces together.
Oh yeah. Every single moment after the wedding happens and it's the feast, like, she's just picking up all sorts of like just weird vibes and weird shit going on.
Oh, she's looking around. She's like, the math is
around. Yeah, she is looking around like. And do you think that she's looking around like, where the fuck are our men?
Well, no, because it's just, you know, just family at the wedding. It's only the important people there.
Yeah, but it's a lot of phrase in there.
I mean, it's a lot of phrase, period. He's 91. We know how many times, like, he's been married how many times?
All right, he's got that 10-year-old now.
Oh, my God. Gross. And Rob, the love-struck dummy.
Just can't keep his hands to himself.
And that's why we're here, girl. Take a look around you. This is how we got here. Read the room. Oh, my God. It's just, you can feel something mounting.
You can. Now, James, let me ask you. In this moment when she tells Rob that they're going to name their kid Ned, did you ever think to a point that we were going to see Ned? Little Ned?
No, I wasn't expecting her to say that.
Well, did you think that? Well, not expecting her to say that, but did you like say, oh, well, maybe we'll see little Ned in the future?
Sure. I was like, oh, that's cute. They're going to have a kid. Little Ned going to be running around.
Well, before that, they have the bedding ceremony where Ned was invoked.
Which this is the same exact type of ceremony that Joffrey wanted for Sansa and Tyrion, right?
Yes.
Correct.
Okay.
And Catelyn said that Ned also would not allow this bullshit and chicanery and foolishness at his wedding either. But I've already told y'all why that is. However, like, there's like the little parallel between Catelyn and Sansa, and then Ned and Tyrion, with like both of them being saved from whatever this is. But when they say the bedding ceremony, Edmure looks very excited, and this child looks terrified.
Yeah, this is the moment where she looks scared. But she also looked kind of scared before they like before that too. Like right before they took her out, she looked kind of scared.
Yeah.
So do you think she knew what was going to happen? No, I'm not talking about the bedding ceremony, but what happens after? Okay. And
I feel like she knew something.
I think that's why she had that like worried look on her face before they
Like,
carried her ass out.
hurry up and get me out of here.
He's about to, yeah.
Like shit's about to go down. Like now I'm uncomfortable because I know this shit's about to happen.
And this, like, the best part of this episode is Catelyn realizing what's going on when the doors close and they start playing the Reigns of Castamere. And then you see the armed men walk marching past Grey Wind. Ginge, when they close those doors, how did you feel?
I knew it was over.
No,
I've seen that in other movies. I knew it was over.
so when you say you knew it was over, like, did you think they were all gonna die? Just Rob was gonna die? Did you think
Nah, like
they were gonna kill?
they were playing. The name of the episode is Reign of Castamere. They were playing the Reign of Castamere, and last episode they just told us what happened
At the Reigns of
at the
Castamere,
Reigns of
yes.
Castamere. So I was like, this is it.
This is the thing.
Yep, I was like, this is it.
Yeah.
Yeah, this when they shut them doors, man, every time I watch the scene, like I get goosebumps like watching this because the acting's so good. Like Kat does an amazing job. Like she's fucking amazing.
There was a little slip up in this scene, but I'll wait a little bit before I talk about
Yeah, let's talk about it because I need to
it.
know.
But like, first we can get to like, so like the guards go past Grey Wind, the Hound pulls up with his pig feet ready for the feast, but the feast is over.
Doesn't
Man,
look over to me.
I can tell you now, last thing we need in there is more food.
And Arya has her Catelyn moment where she sees the men marching past and she puts some stuff together. She's like, the fuck's going on here? And
No.
then she just slips out quick like a cat.
Yeah, everything seems like everybody's, I love how they're picking it all up. Like she's picking it up, Kat's picking it up.
And then when,
Women's intuition.
yes, because when Bruce puts his arm on the table and Catelyn lifts his sleeve and he's got on that chainmail. A moment. Like, that's it. We're
There's,
done. It's over.
yeah, there's a couple moments. So she lifts up his sleeve. We see the chainmail. He gets slapped. He scurries around like a bitch, right? So you think he's like scurrying out. Like, oh, I'm getting the fuck out of here.
Oh,
Because
no.
that's kind of, well, we know he didn't, but
Oh,
that's what
no.
it looks like in the scene.
Well, it looks like he's getting out of Dodge for sure.
Yeah, it
Like,
looks like he's gonna try to leave before all hell breaks loose.
yeah, like it looks like he's leaving though. Like, it doesn't look like he's like looping around to do something else. It looks like it's like, oh, I did my part for the Lannisters. Because remember, it's all about like his perception or his like what he wants the Lannisters to think about him. So it's almost like, oh, I'm getting myself out of here. I did my part for the Lannisters. They're gonna pay me. I'm out.
I'm the first casualty of this wedding. Second Ned Stark.
Yo, that.
Got you.
Yeah, I was like, oh, fuck.
Because they didn't go for the girl.
No, they went for
They
straight
went
for the
straight for the
baby.
fucking baby.
Yep.
Cool. Yeah. And then the arrows rain down from the ceiling. Yikes, it's happened. So, Ginge? Because then Arya's outside She sees the men die.
Then sees the wolf die.
And they take out Grey Wind.
I got sad about that too.
Yeah.
And then they walk past Arya like she's not even there.
Yeah, like
she has mastered the art of standing so still that she becomes invisible.
She is literally the 3-year-old that goes like this and thinks that nobody can see them. I just covered my face. Then she covers her face and nobody can see me now.
And the Hound saves her from certain death because she was gonna run up in there.
Oh yeah,
he saves her from a lot.
This is
in
like
this moment,
dark girl that he has saved from certain death.
Oh yeah.
But inside a fucking melee, it's a mess. There's bodies everywhere. And Catelyn makes one final plea for her baby boy.
And it gets nowhere.
Absolutely fucking nowhere, because like this dude is just gonna get another wife killer. I don't give a shit. Yep. I don't probably don't even know her name.
As we talked about in the beginning of the episode where he was gonna put all this stuff behind them. She asked for the same thing, like, let's put it all behind us. And he points out to her, you've made an oath before in my presence, in this castle, in this room. Fool me once.
Fool me twice. Can't get fooled again.
Can't get fooled again. So.
And Rob utters his last word, which is mother, and takes his arrows. And that's how the war ends.
Roos does the deed.
The Lannisters send their regards.
Which we'll come back to in the quote section. Talk about that a little bit.
Oh, Ginge. Obviously, this is what I've been stressed about this whole time. And I was right to be stressed, because last week when you said you thought Rob was going to walk into King's Landing.
Yeah.
Wow. I was just like, he doesn't suspect anything. Oh boy. But like the particular moment that I didn't want to give it away didn't happen in this episode. It's the beginning of next episode. But like after that first episode of House of the Dragon this season, people were comparing it to the Red Wedding. And I was just like, he cannot find out about this.
Yeah.
Like, it stressed me. I was on vacation with my husband, walking to breakfast, stressed out. Forgot we're going to see this thing.
Once he said the thing about Rob going to King's Landing, though, I was like, oh, yeah, we're good.
We are so Gucci. I was like,
we're good. He has no fucking idea.
We did it, Teach.
High five.
Nope. Sure didn't.
So, Ginge, what did you think? How did you take it? Like,
well, first I said that Kat did say that Frey is a dangerous dude. And she won't lie.
She's been telling us.
And then I'm proud of Kat for still killing his wife. And then it's also said that I guess we'll never know if Rob's wife was actually a good woman or not.
Yes, I want to bring that up because that was one of the theories around her, because in the book, he marries a girl named Jane Westerling that he meets at the crag where he went with Talisa, and that's where they fell in love. Because like Kat's at River Run. Jamie's been at River Run this whole time. So he married Jane Westerling. Jane was not pregnant. She was actually worried about whether or not she could even get pregnant. And he left her at River Run. She was not at the wedding. So like one of the theories about Talisa was that she was the Lannister honeypot, which is that like the Lannister sent her to bring Rob down. And obviously that got debunked as soon as the massacre started. But I thought it was a good
thing. But did it?
Well, you know what?
Because now, like, in my head, like, that makes total sense.
Because
in
like,
the word, and James is gonna get this. In the words of the great villain Bane in Dark Knight Rises, one of us have to go down with the wreckage, brother.
Okay.
So she went down with the wreckage.
Okay. I see that. I see that. Because that's why I kept asking you, Jen, like, who do you think she's writing to? Because I wanted to see if you, like, if you would pick up on that part of it.
Yeah.
And you did. And I was, like, really happy because, like, after I read, because, like, I already knew, like, I had already seen it. So after I saw it, I read the theory and I was like, okay, I can see it. I wanted to make sure that, like, a first-time observer.
I'm going to read this theory because, like, honestly, as a many-time observer, I've never even thought of this. Like, even when you said it, like, who's she writing to? I was like, I didn't think you thought that. I thought you would just open it up, like, dialogue, but it all makes sense.
I mean, I didn't think that in my first watch through. I didn't think that until I saw the theories, and I was like,
yeah,
I can
now that,
it. And then
now that you say it,
you're like, well, maybe she just had to go down. Well, maybe she did.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That all, it kind of adds up, just her treatment of the Lannisters. We see her with the Lannister boys. How she's treating them.
Yeah.
And they could have just needed to kill her because she would have had an heir to Winterfell.
Yeah, to Winterfell.
Yeah. And maybe that was like a turning point for them to kill her. Like, oh, now she's pregnant. We got to get her out of here.
Yeah.
Because if there's one thing that this show has shown us, they fear little kids a lot.
Yeah.
So, Ginge, did you think Catelyn's plea was going to do anything? Like, did you think they were
no.
going to?
No.
And how did you feel, Rob, when Roose sent the Lannisters regards?
Yeah, well, I called it. I didn't think it was going to be like that. Like, I didn't think that he was going to be man enough to carry out the sentence.
Ah, you know, when you were just like, Roose is betraying Rob, I thought then that you knew. I was just like, oh my God, he's going to figure it out. Because I was
I didn't think that, but
immediately you were like, oh no, you can't trust this motherfucker at all.
Yeah, like, I don't trust
there him. Was like, I thought that too. Like, when I watched the show for the first time, like, there's nothing about Roose that seems trustworthy. And the way they show him and how, like, his rise, and that's why I kept trying to point that out, like, throughout. Like, it's weird that he's just like all of a sudden Rob's right hand, like, out of nowhere.
Now, like, so when was the turning point though? Like, was Roose always gonna side with the Lannisters, or was like killing Karstark like a turning point?
I think the real turning point was Jaime.
Yeah,
like, Jaime.
Not killing Jaime.
Yep.
Like, because I mean, when
because like everybody else was mad about it,
he said, "Send my regards."
Yeah. Also, the guy that killed Kat, when he slit her throat, he had the blade down, like, towards the top of her shirt. But then when the slice came across the neck, it was, like, right underneath the chin.
Is that your thing?
Was
that
Yeah. Yeah. Like, if you're gonna have the knife, at least have it in the area where the cut's gonna be.
I get it. Oh, no, TJ's moving. Okay. I understand. So, what happens now?
That's a good question. And it got me thinking, you know, the going back to Bran and Rickon, where Bran tells Rickon that if something happens to all of us, you're going to be heir. Like, it's getting pretty close to becoming true. Like, Bran, the only one left now.
And we can, like, let's go back to the leeches.
Yeah.
Number one, the usurper, Robb Stark. Do you think that? Do you think
no.
It's a matter of time?
I don't think the leeches were, or the leech for Robb Stark was meant for the wedding.
Okay.
I
All
think
right,
that
I
just
agree.
happened to, I think that just happened
That.
to be, like, I think that something else would have happened if the Frey didn't do anything. Like, I feel like the Frey was separate from the leeches, just because of time, the timeline wise.
Okay.
Like, I feel like Walder Frey's been playing in this for a while now, and the leeches just happened.
TJ, your first watch through, like, did you? So you didn't know this was coming.
No, I had no idea this was coming my first watch through.
Okay.
I think my first watch through, like, it shocked me more than anything. And I think it only shocked me because, like, they killed Ned off. And then I was like, this whole family is, like, theoretically just wiped out.
Eventually.
Like, the two people that are so quote unquote heirs are two kids. One of them can't walk. They have no home anymore. Like, that's gone. Like what's next for anybody in this family at this point? But yeah, I had no idea this was coming in my first watch through, but I remember watching this episode for the first time and like just sitting in shock.
Yeah, that's how it was for me. But like, after Ned Stark's head came off, I immediately ran to Wikipedia. So I knew this was coming.
Okay, see, I didn't. I tried to stay away. Like when I first watched through, I read lore as stuff was happening. So like I would stop at the point that I was like at.
Oh
I
yeah.
wouldn't read ahead.
No, I read ahead. And this, like, and even still, no, like, knowing what was happening, like, I never paid as much attention to this episode as I did when I watched it this time. Because it's like I'm getting ready for, like, what I know is coming. And like, even knowing it was coming, I still, like, turned off my TV and just laid in my floor and stared at the ceiling for like a good 15 minutes because I was just like,
Yeah,
get
that's what I was gonna compare it to. It's like one of the moments. It's like when Chris Jenkins hit the shot against Carolina in the national championship. When Bryce Young or Bryce Johnson doesn't step up with his hand up, hits the shot, and I just sat there and stared at the floor for 15 minutes.
where how like what's his face hit his three, our three to go up,
Yes,
DC three to
Marcus
go up.
Paige.
Yeah, Marcus Paige, he hit the three and I was like, that's it, we did it. And
Yep.
then we didn't do
Yeah,
it.
Chris Jenkins comes back
Yeah,
down and hits the
I feel
three.
it. I feel that.
I
Yep.
stared at the floor for 15 minutes, and that's exactly how you feel in this
This
episode.
is like watching Stefon Diggs catch that ball or watching Tommy Lee Lewis not just lay on the fucking ground so that they throw a flag. That's what this felt like.
Yep, exactly.
See, we all know what we're all talking about.
Exactly. You compare
Yeah.
anything to sports, everybody knows what you're talking about.
But TJ, for you, I'm gonna do something once we get to the quote segment to
Okay.
make this even worse for you.
For me.
For you.
Why is this gonna be worse for me?
Get shit on.
Why are we praying for my downfall here?
Because you already knew what was coming, but I'm about to put another layer on it for you.
Okay.
Like T like Gingy's getting another layer, but this is still a fresh wound. Yours is healed over. I'm about to reopen it.
I got you.
All right. That was season three, episode nine, The Reigns of Castamere. Oh my God, we made it. And TJ, I know we are pouring out like a whole bottle of Sir Davis.
Yeah, we're pouring out something. So first pour one out will be for, no, I wrote it down somewhere. Oh shit, I can't do this on the spot. Oh my God. Oral. I think it was our first pour one
Oral.
out. Yeah, I don't think anybody died before Oral, right? I'm calling him Oral. I don't care if you call him Oral, he's Oral to me.
R.I.P. dog.
Yeah, RIP to him. And then obviously, everybody at the wedding. Pour one out for Rob, Kat, Talisa,
Ed
the whole
Stark.
family.
Baby Ned.
Yeah, baby Ned, the
That
direwolf.
dire wolf. All of Rob's
Man.
men.
Yeah, all the Stark men. Yeah.
And I guess for the soldiers in Yunkai too, you were human lives.
We didn't see many people die. There were hundreds of them though. Hundreds of them died. We just didn't see it.
Nah.
All right. Well, now for the quote segment. Stick it with the pointy end. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. Why not? So a lot of mine are gonna be like just things that were said that kind of just stand out in terms of like the flow of the episode and then where they're at.
How many do you have?
Like three or four.
You're good. I should be good.
Okay.
Like I
So
have.
my first one comes in the very beginning of the episode. Cat and Rob are talking and they say to each other, "If Walter Frey cooperates," and then she repeats it, "If Walter Frey cooperates." I don't think he did.
Nah.
I don't think he did.
Well, I mean, technically, oh, dang, I forgot something. I forgot I had a question. When they do the ceremony, the betting ceremony, and they take the uncle and stuff, does the uncle survive? Like, do they kill him?
It will be addressed.
It will be addressed. We'll come
Okay.
back to that.
Okay.
So my next one comes from the 69 God himself, Walter Frey. Your king says he betrayed me for love. I say he betrayed me for firm tits and tight fit. I'd say so. It's the 69 God. What do you expect? And then my next one comes from Osha, where she says to Mira Reed, "Keep this one safe. He means the world to me." Like her love for them boys is like, that was a good scene. And then I have two at the end. First one at the end is Walter Frey when he looks Kat dead in her face and says, "I'll find another." So he had like no worries about that 10-year-old bride of his. He'll find another.
Wives.
And then the go ahead.
Wives are like regular level Pokemon. They're everywhere.
Right? Got to catch them all. And then the last one is Roose Bolton and the Lannisters send their regards. And I only wrote that one because I caught it for the first time during this watch through in the last episode. Was the last episode when he says it? Or when Jamie tells him? Yeah, Bear to Main Fair.
This Iron Maiden fair. No,
Yeah.
that was episode before.
Seven. Right.
Okay.
All right.
So.
Your turn, Ginge. What you got?
All right, my first one is from my dude Ed. The actor's name. I don't remember what his name is. The new dude that is all over
Daria.
Danny. Yeah, Daria. He talks to Jorah and says, "You have a very suspicious mind. In my experience, only dishonest people think this way." And
That part.
yep. And then the next one's from Sam's girl, where she says, "You're like a wizard."
Old Gilly, that smile on his face.
Yep. And then my last one is from Arya, when she's talking to the Hound, and she says, "Someday I'm going to put my sword through your eye and back out your skull." Or out the back of your skull.
Hell yeah.
Because she ain't messing around no more.
Well, I have like a million. Most of them are foreshadowing. So let's get to it. First, take his home, take his gold, take his power. Rob. And then he says, "We'll lose the war and die the way father di died, or worse."
I was
Much,
gonna bring that up.
much.
I
Yeah,
was gonna
definitely
bring that
worse.
up in the scene, but I figured somebody was gonna touch on that in the quote, so I was like, I'll just leave it.
And then when Catelyn says, "Show them how it feels to lose what they love." Yikes. Walders, of course, "The wine will flow red and music will play loud, and we'll put this mess behind us." Or at least I will.
Yeah, somebody will.
And then this particular one is for you, TJ. when Mira says, "What did you do?" when Bran wargs into Hodor. I know that's not how she put it, but that's how she should have put it. Because what did you do, Bran? Yeah. And then finally, you're a warg, Bran. It's in your blood. Because in the books, all six of the Stark children are wargs.
Okay.
And so Rob, when he dies, like as we saw, Orel died and went into his eagle. We saw that in this episode. So Rob, when he dies, calls for Grey Wind. And the theory is that he warged into Grey Wind when he died, which means that in the book, they killed Rob Stark twice.
I was going to say, so he died twice.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's definitely worse.
Yeah. So, Ginge, blind rankings.
Well, I mean this is number one.
Obviously.
After we talked about this, because obviously you told me when you watched this, and I got to get your little instant reaction. They had no spoilers, right? I told him, I was like, just give me like two words. That's all I want. And he gave me two words. That's all I needed. You said what?
What were they?
If I remember correctly, oh fuck. So I got my two word reaction, and then I asked him what he thought about the episode, and he said that it was kind of like slow up until the end.
Yeah.
Did like us talking about it like make it better for you?
No. Not really, but like I think that final scene is enough to make it carry.
Is it because like that final scene leaves like now so much to question?
Yeah, like you have so many questions. Wait, like
the war's over. What now?
Yeah. What now?
I mean, I guess now Tywin can start focusing on the three dragons across the sea. But like, they're still across the sea, so who really cares? But yeah. I think this scene, and then the scene where Danny takes the Unsullied and says Dracarys and kills all the masters, are like the two top scenes in the show so far.
Okay. Yeah, because that scene where she kills the masters is top tier.
Yeah, like that was great.
Well, yeah. So, does anybody feel like a little bit down? I always feel terrible when I watch this episode, and that's why I don't watch it much. Like, there's this one, and then there's two more that I don't do.
Now I feel like next episode, though, is going to be kind of like a slog.
Okay. I am.
Like, I feel like kind of like how, I don't know, it just like, because now they're. I feel like next episode, they're not going to answer the questions we have. And then it's just going to be like a meh.
What question do you have?
Well, like what's like, I need to know like now, like how this stuff with Bran's going to work. And then I need to know like how long it's going to take for like Jaime to get back to King's Landing. And I'm sure that'll probably be in next episode. But like, I feel like it's not going to be like as intense.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's just going to be kind of like, I don't know, a middle episode.
Because it's definitely like an episode 10 is like a come down from like whatever.
Yeah.
Like whatever harassment they put us through in episode 9. It's like
kind of like feel like the way House of Dragons ended, where that scene where, you know, that one episode where we all thought we were going to battle, and it ended with the scene of the three of all the dragons behind Rhaenyra, and like that was like oh my gosh. And then next episode, we're kind of just like, what was that? I feel like this is gonna be like that. We just had an oh my gosh moment, and then next episode is gonna be like, meh.
Okay. I can see that.
That's fair. That's a fair critique.
Especially since it's gonna be the end. Like, they're just gonna. It's the end of the season.
Yeah, it is the end of the season. Not the end of that book, though. There's still like 38 chapters of that book left.
Great day.
Yeah. Which is why we'll get into what happens at the end of that book at the end of next week's episode. Like, a lot has happened. We lost a good one. RIP to Robb Stark, and perhaps also his Lannister spy wife. Who knows? Like, TJ really put a thought in my head, and I don't like it, because, like, what if she really was playing him? Anyway, that is going to do it for this episode of Charges to the Game, a Game of Thrones rewatch podcast. Don't forget to rate and review us, please. And you can follow me at Lauren Lovegood, G-O-O-D-E, on everything. So on behalf of Gingy and TJ, I am Lauren Lovegood, and we will see you next time. And now our watch is ended.